Shalom Aleichem, Mishneh Yomi is in Chapter 3 of Zevachim, Mishnayot 5 and 6, continuing a discussion of pigul and pusel, when an improper intention to eat something past the time limit or out of bounds causes the offering to be invalid. So Mishneh Hey, Ashochet et Mukdashin, someone slaughters a sanctified offering. The Rashi and the Barnura point out Mukdashin is female, so this refers to a female animal, Lechol Shalil, and he's intending to eat the shlil, the fetus inside this pregnant animal, oshilya, or the embryonic sac or placenta, bachutz, and he intends to eat it outside, either outside of the time limit for pigul or outside of the physical boundary, would make it pusel. Here, lo figil, it does not make the offering pigul or pusel. The reason being, according to the Rambam, that this is not something that's typically eaten. It's considered ein darko lechol. The Barnura does say it's not considered part of the animal, though that is a discussion. In some cases, we do consider an unborn animal as part of the animal, and we'll see a case in Hulin about the ben pakua, when you slaughter the mommy cow, and there's a actual living, viable baby cow that then comes out or is cut out. That's actually a perfectly kosher animal, and on a deraisa level, a biblical level, does not need its own shechita, because it was inside the mother at the time of a kosher shechita. Of course, rabbinically, we would take care of it, because we don't eat things that are alive. But in general, we see, as we saw yesterday about the parts that are inedible, if the intention is to eat something that's not really eaten, and they have the wrong intention, past the time limit, past the space limit, then it does not make it a pusel or a pigul carbon. The next case, a molek torin bifnim. A Kohen performs a malika on turtle doves in the courtyard. Now, malika is a specialized form of shechita that basically cuts through the blood vessels in a bird's neck using the thumbnail of the Kohen. Some of the Kohen would grow their thumbnails long. I'm not sure if they would sharpen them, but these birds, these little pigeons and turtle doves, have a small neck, so it would be a viable form of shechita specifically done on the birds that were used as offerings. But his intention here is lechol beitzehem b'chutz. He wants to eat the eggs, meaning the eggs that are still inside the mother bird, outside of the courtyard or beyond the time, lo pigul. It does not make the offering pigul or pusel here because the eggs are not considered part of the bird itself. Now the Mishnah adds halev hamikdashin, milk of female offerings, ubeitze torin, and the eggs inside the turtle doves, ein chayavin alehem, one is not liable, mishum pigul, notar tame. If the offering would become pigul, become pigul in the normal way, through someone intending to consume a kezayit past the time limit, a kezayit of the actual flesh, where there's no machlokas here, or it was notar, it was left over, it was all done normally, but the particular meat is past the time limit, vitame, or the person eating them is ritually impure. So they're not chayiv because it's not considered eating part of the offering. The milk that's still in the udder at the time of slaughter and the eggs still in the bird at the time of malika are not considered part of the animal. On to Mishnah Vav, shechato, someone slaughtered an offering, almanat, on condition, lehaniach damo, to leave the blood over to the next day. Now, the blood is supposed to be applied to the mizbeach, the altar, the same day. Oit emurav lemachar, or to bring the limbs to be burned the next day. Now, they have to be burned on the same day, and the leftovers are burned at that night, but they can't be left over for the next day. O lahotzi lachutz, or to take the blood or the limbs outside the courtyard. Rabbi Yehuda Posel, Rabbi Yehuda says this makes the offering invalid. Hachamim machshirin. The sages say it's still valid. They would say we only have a problem when you're going to throw the blood in the wrong way or burn the emorim in the wrong way or at the wrong time or place, not about just taking it outside or leaving it over for the next day. Now, those things are problematic, but they wouldn't make it possible. Now, this is when the intention is to do those things. If someone actually left the limbs or the blood till the next day or actually took them outside the courtyard, that is invalid. But here it's only the intention that would invalidate, but they actually did the action correctly. Now, the Mishnah is going to bring a number of cases where Rabbi Yehuda agrees that there's something wrong, but it doesn't mess up the carbon. It's still valid. Shechato al menat, they slaughtered the carbon on condition, litno al gabei a kevish, that they're going to put the blood on the ramp. Now, the ramp leads up to the mizbeach, to the altar, but it's not considered part of the mizbeach, so putting blood there doesn't help. or shelo cheneged hayesod, or to put the blood on the walls of the altar, but not the walls that are above the base. Recall I've mentioned on two sides of the Mizbeach, and with a little outcropping on the other two sides, there is a yesod, sort of like a step up that's one amma tall around the bottom. Litanet nitanin lamata lamala, or to apply blood that should go on the bottom half of the altar, lamala, to the top half. Et nitanin lamala lamata, or vice versa, blood that should go up on the bottom half. Et nitanin bifnim bachutz, or is the intention is to apply blood that should go inside on the inner mizbeach, inside the temple building, bachutz, on the large outer mizbeach, or vice versa, et nitanin bachutz bifnim. Or sheyochluchu tameim, or his intention is that people who are ritually impure should eat from the offering, or sheyakrivu tameim, or that the offering should be brought by people who are ritually impure, which they're not allowed to do, or sheyochluhu areilim, or that people who are uncircumcised should eat from the meat, which they can't do, or sheyakrivuhu areilim, or that uncircumcised kohanim will bring up the parts of the offering. Now, in these last cases, the offering has been done correctly, but the people who are uncircumcised or ritually impure, who are eating from it or are doing part of the avoda, they do get in trouble. But once the blood has been properly applied in the right place, the offering itself is still valid. And the Mishnah has other exceptions that apply only to a Korban Pesach, l'shaber atzmot ha-Pesach, to break the bones of the Paschal Lamb. Now that's actually a pasuk in Shemot chapter 12, that we do not, etzemot tishbeh, but we do not break any bones of the Korban Pesach. And some of the Mefarshim explain, if somebody's breaking up the bones and licking out all the marrow and everything, it looks like they're very gluttonous and very hungry and starving, and it's not really a regal and dignified way of eating a Pesach. Or lechol hemenu na, or to eat from a Korban Pesach half-cooked, it should be fully barbecued. Or le'arev damo, to mix blood of an offering, bedam psulin, from blood that is invalid, kosher. These wrong intentions, the offering is still kosher. Now again, he didn't put these into practice. He didn't actually do these things, but the intention was to do these things. The offering itself is still kosher. The Mishnah concludes, she'ein ha-machshava poselet, because intention does not undermine the validity of our offerings. Ela chutz lizmano, unless he's intending to consume something outside of the time limit, v'chutz limkomo, or outside of the physical boundary, the temple courtyard for Kodshi Kodshim, and Yerushalayim for the Kodshim Kolim, v'apesach, and also the Korban Pesach, v'chatat, the individual sin offering, shalo lishman, that are done for the sake of a different offering. Those require specific intent. So in those cases, it could be pusel or pigle for beyond the time limit. But in these other cases, there's something problematic in the intention, but not something problematic in the execution, so the offering itself is still good.